Father, we thank you for Susan, Lord. Bless you for her. Bless you for this word that you've placed in her heart. Amen. Of compassion. And we give you all the honor. Give us ears to hear, Lord. Amen. And hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. So I've had this word kind of bubbling away for a few months, really. And Steve very graciously asked me to bring it today, so I don't take that for granted. Thank you, Steve. Please don't leave. Bye. So it's not really, I don't know what you'd call this. In Scotland, we'd call it a wee word. Okay, this is a wee word. So it's not really a preach, it's not a Bible study, it's not a teaching, it's kind of everything combined. So I'm going to call it a reflection. Is that all right? Yeah. A reflection on the word compassion. And it tells us in the word to meditate on the word. So it's one word, but it means a lot of things, doesn't it? Yeah. The word compassion. So we're just going to go through that. I do have some slides that I've done. We're not using them like through the system, but I do have some slides here. So we're going to put that on Signal. I can send Steve the link. It's just the slides are for my benefit as much as anyone's, because I can get off track when I'm talking. Okay, anybody who knows me will know that. So it's good to have a structure and follow the plan. But God can say anything, amen? Yeah? So the word compassion, what I was thinking of as a good definition for us today is God gives, we receive, and others benefit. Yeah? God gives us, we receive, and others benefit. And that's different stages in that process. And we have to actually be willing to yield to what God wants to do in our lives so that we can receive. It's one thing hearing God's voice, it's another thing then being willing to receive it. Is that right? Yes. Yeah? So I wanted to talk a lot about, from a psychology point of view, compassion, but God led me in a different way to meditate on the scripture and that word. So there may be more to come under this heading, all right, rather than trying to fit it all in today. So God's compassionate grace towards his children. Compassionate grace. So I've got some scriptures. I don't quite know how I'm going to do this. Lamentations 3, that verse in Lamentations says, we sung it, didn't we? I need to read it, sorry. The love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh every morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. I remember the very first time I read Lamentations, a long time ago. And it was quite heavy. And then I came to this and I'm like, oh, I know that song. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. But it was, we pick that out and we use it as an encouragement, but it was right in the middle of destruction that Jeremiah said that. It was right in the middle of exile and just the temple destroyed, and just total things going wrong. And I felt it was a bit like our nation, really. There's been a lot of things go wrong, yeah? But it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. So that verse is really the foundation of everything I want to say today. Is that all right? So if you want to read the whole of Lamentations, it is good to read it. Because you can see how much pain and suffering the children of God were in. And then he says, you know, his mercies never cease. So if he can say that in that situation, then we can say it too. Amen? Yeah? His mercies never cease. Okay. So that's a little Bible bit. All right. In Exodus 34, God is speaking to Moses, and God's words to Moses are, I am the compassionate God. God is saying that he himself is a compassionate God. So when God says it himself, I think it's worth taking note of and meditating on. Yeah, it's not just the writers of the Bible who've said it. God himself said to Moses, I am the God of compassion. So what does compassion... If you look up the dictionary, it will say to suffer with. That's the original meaning of the word compassion. To suffer with. So it's more than empathy. Empathy is great. You know, understanding people, walking in their shoes, understanding their pain. But we've got to go beyond empathy. Excuse me, I've been talking all week. More talking than normal. I've been training this week, so it's been a busy week. In Psalm 103, this is another scripture, David says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm at the hospital, we get the patients to say things so we remember. So can we say this together? Tender and compassionate. Is that okay? Tender and compassionate. Again? Tender and compassionate. So hopefully that will stick in your mind, even if I don't say anything else today that is relevant. He is tender and compassionate to those who fear him. So just let... It's like... I was thinking earlier in the service, life can be like a battlefield, okay? And we can come to church sometimes feeling a bit battle-weary. Is that true? Yes. Yeah, a bit like, oh, what a week. But actually, I felt God was saying like this, to meditate on a word like this, it's like being in his garden, yeah? And just coming into that quiet garden. There used to be a song we sung, I Come to the Garden Alone. Remember that one? Yes. I'm not going to sing it. But it's just coming into that quiet space and receiving that balm, that kind of balm to our souls when we're feeling worried and anxious and broken and our nation and these elections and all this stuff's going on. I just felt God saying earlier, come into the garden, come and rest. That's a good place to be. Not to stay forever, but to be refreshed and then go out again and be ready to fight again. Okay. So these are some verses in the Old Testament that talk about compassion. So I've got a scripture here from Matthew. We're going into the New Testament now. Chapter 6. And I think I can read this one. Don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we wear? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. I like how it puts it, this translation. Dominates the thoughts. It's like all they ever think about is stuff, isn't it? What are we going to do? What do we have? What are we going to eat? But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. It's in the scripture, we read it, we believe it, but sometimes we don't live in it. Is that true? We read don't worry and then we spend the day worrying. But if we focus on words like compassion, mercy, grace, when we're focusing on these things, that's what helps us to take our mind off the worry. Yeah, I'm a great believer in distraction. If you're having an overwhelming thought about anxiety or things we haven't done or regrets, start focusing on the good things that are in the Word. Feed on the Word, meditate on it. Love, mercy, compassion, goodness. There's no room for worry, is there, when we do that? Because we're actually focusing on the Word of God. Am I making sense of that?
Yes.
Okay. So as I said, it's just a little like reflection. It's not really a preach, but I'm sure God can use it. So Mark 6:34, that's the next one. Okay, this was when there was a large crowd around Jesus. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Every time, I did a little study a few years ago on Jesus and compassion, and every single time we hear the word compassion in the Gospels, it led to action. It led to Jesus doing something. And that helped me at that point not to get stuck in empathy, because I was doing lots of listening training, I was getting alongside people. And if you get stuck in empathy, you can end up burning out because you're carrying all these burdens. Yeah? So for me, the next step is, right, what can I do right now? So what Jesus did when he had compassion there, he started to teach. So it's not always practical action, although that includes practical action. I remember one person came to our charity and all she wanted was a loaf of bread. And she'd walked past the door many times. We had a store cupboard, a mini food bank. And she needed some bread, so she came in for the bread. That led to that lady coming to faith many, many months down the line. But it started with a loaf of bread. So I love doing the practical as well as the teaching, as well as the listening, because you have to meet someone's need. Her need was for a loaf of bread. She didn't come in saying, I want to know Jesus. But months or even a year, more than a year down the line, she gave her heart to Jesus. So we just never know what's going to make a difference. After Jesus said that to the crowds, then they were hungry, weren't they? And he fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. We know the story. So Jesus used teaching as his compassionate response, but then he fed them. He filled their bellies. Yeah? So once a month I do a soup kitchen at the YMCA. We're on a rota and I do once a month. And we just make soup and we get donations from local shops. And we're feeding between 50 and 70 people on a Friday night in the middle of Bournemouth, you know. And they love my soup, actually. I do love making soup, and they do love my soup. But we try, one of us makes soup every week, who's on the team. I'm the soup queen. I was brought up on soup. But I just love making something to give to someone like that. At our cafe, we had a Friday night cafe. I ended up being the cook. I didn't originally, but someone left. So I took over the role of cook. But when lockdown hit us, we sat down and we said, what are we going to do? And I said, I'll cook. We can do meals. I'll cook. We can deliver meals to our clients. So for that whole period of lockdown, we became a food hub for Ferndown and East Dorset. Did I share the gospel with anyone at that point? No, I didn't. But after that, people came and ask for help with anxiety and help with finding Jesus. And through that last 2 year period, I saw more people come to faith than I had in all of my life. And that came out of that food ministry. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. So, it's just whatever God puts in front of you. You might not be involved in food, but on a Friday night, think of me, think of us, you know, the chaplaincy team at the Y, giving out food to the homeless and to the residents who live there. Like, we pray for Tony, don't we? He goes out on a Saturday and he's giving them spiritual food, isn't he, in Bournemouth. So compassion leads to action, but it includes all these things. Does that? Yeah? I say, does that make sense a lot? I'm not going to say it, okay. It does make sense. It makes sense. Compassion in Jesus always led to action. So next time you're reading the Gospels, just look for that word compassion. He had compassion on them. And then look at what happened next. And it's a nice little study that made the Gospels come alive to me in a fresh way when I did that. So Jesus had compassion, he taught them, he fed them. And he was moved with compassion when someone acknowledged their need and reached out to him in faith. So we're going to Dr. Luke for this. Because Luke records a lot of healings, a lot of things that happened with women, a lot of details that were going on around Jesus' ministry that the other Gospels don't mention. Or maybe just briefly mention. So I always explain to people, if I'm doing discipleship with someone, I say, Luke was a doctor, and we have to read it through that lens. And it really helps it to come alive for someone who hasn't read the Bible before. Anyway, that's just a little aside. So, Luke 7, Dr. Luke. So in Luke 7, I'm not going to read it all, don't worry. But it starts off with the Roman officer. Do you remember that story? So the Roman officer, his son was sick and he came to ask Jesus for help. And Jesus said, yes, yes, I'll come. Jesus had compassion. But then his friends came and said, don't trouble himself because just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, don't trouble yourself by coming to my house. I am not worthy for such an honour. Just say the word. Remember that bit? Say the word and he will be healed. And Jesus said, he was amazed. He said, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found him completely healed. So in that instance, the officer came to Jesus. He was humble because he was a centurion, you know. He was a leader of many men, but he humbled himself. He came to a Jewish house and he asked Jesus for help, and Jesus responded. And some people do that. They come and they ask for help and they respond. The next story in Luke 7 is about the widow's son. Do you remember Jesus just happened to be walking along, and there was a funeral procession going along. This widow had lost her son. It was a bit like, their coffins were a bit like a stretcher. You know, it was an open, it's not a coffin that's all closed up. It was like an open stretcher. They were carrying this poor lad who had sadly died. And the widow was distraught because she didn't have any income then. She would have become a beggar then because she had no husband, no son to look after her. So it was a real huge issue for her. Did she go up and run to Jesus and say, please help? No, she didn't. But Jesus saw her heart and she was crying. And Jesus intervened. And Jesus just stood in and intervened. So even if someone doesn't come themselves and ask for help, the Lord can still intervene. Yeah? So remember that. If you see some, and we pray for people here, don't we, that don't necessarily come and ask. But God sees their heart, and we see that they're hungry for something. So that's what happened. And the boy was restored, if you don't know the story. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk. Wow. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Isn't that lovely? Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. So it makes sense that Luke recorded that with his doctor hat on, yeah? Because someone coming, being raised from the dead, it was a big thing. It would be a big thing today, wouldn't it? People don't normally come back from the dead, although it does happen from time to time. But what struck me with that passage is the widow did not approach Jesus, but Jesus saw her heart. That's his compassion. That's the compassion of God. Okay, so first a Roman officer and then a widow. We know John 3:16, it says, God the Father sent the Son. Compassion led to sacrifice. That was the action. Compassion is a verb. To take action is a verb. It's not a noun. It's not a state of being. It's what we do out of our empathy. Yeah? Does that? Yeah? Do you see where I'm going in this? Okay. So, compassion is part of God's nature. He calls himself, in Exodus, I referred to earlier, I am the God of compassion and mercy. So I've gone to that verse a few times in my life and said, Lord, you yourself said, Father God, you yourself said, you are the God of compassion and mercy. I need your mercy right now. I need your compassion in this situation. And and God moves, not always in the way that we think or that we want, but he manufactures things, and he puts things in place. And when we look back, we think, yes, God was so merciful. God was so merciful. Okay. So what does compassion involve? I see these as kind of like roots of a tree growing. If you imagine in your mind back into the garden again, think that we're in the garden and you can see things growing. Love, mercy, grace, kindness, humility. These are like the roots. So if we start to put roots down as we grow as a Christian, as a believer, these roots will produce compassion in us. Yeah? They're like the essence of compassion being the fruit. Love, mercy, grace, kindness, humility. And we can choose to walk in these things, obviously with God's help and with God leading us and not running ahead of God and not going behind like Steve prayed earlier. But if we're digging these things into our roots, compassion is the fruit of that. What do we need to do? We need to say, Lord, we receive. If you've had a dysfunctional childhood like I did, I've talked about that before and I don't want to go into that today, but I had to actually learn as an adult, what did unconditional love actually mean? What did God mean by mercy? What does he mean by grace? And my mind's always, I always want to find out things. I'm very curious. So I would call myself a lifelong learner. You know, I'm 70 this year coming up. Big 7-0. But I'm still learning, amen? I'm still learning this stuff. And I'm learning that if I focus on the roots and focus on the love, the mercy, the grace, the kindness and the humility, the compassion is like the fruit of that, and we don't have to strive. That's what I'm trying to say. The compassion will naturally come out of these kind of things. But if in our roots we have rejection, dysfunction, performance, conditional love, abuse, neglect, if we have any of these things in our roots, compassion's not going to be the fruit, is it? So we need to ask God, get into my roots and show me what these things mean and show me how I can live with these attributes in my life. So it's called the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible, but we kind of read it off. I think most of us, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, blah, blah. You know, But what I'm trying to do today is slow us down and meditate on what the words actually mean. So love, mercy, grace, kindness and humility. I'm just going to have a look here. Because this is like a little summary of what I'm saying. I've done that one. Yeah, I'm here now. So Philippians 2. Do you know the chapter? Have the same mind of Christ, yeah? Have the same attitude. He came as a servant, all that stuff. Philippians 2, you can go read it. So the mind and the attitude of Christ, these are these words: love, mercy, grace, kindness, humility. There's another verse. I told you I was jumping around in the scriptures. Philippians 1, 27. Where is it? I love Philippians. It says, this is titled, Live as Citizens of Heaven. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Live as citizens of heaven. Is that easy or difficult?
Difficult.
Yeah. Who finds it easy? Anybody? I'm glad I'm not. It's not just me. It's hard work. It's hard work. That's why we have to choose every day. Today, I'm going to live in the kingdom. I'm going to be a kingdom person. I'm going to have love, mercy, grace, kindness, humility in my life. It's our choice. Paul often says, clothe yourself. Put on humility. Put on love. Put on grace. So it's our choice. The provision is there in our salvation. The cross is everything. It's been done in the cross, but we have to put it on. We have to live in it. God is working in us when we do that. Live as citizens of heaven. How? Stand together with one purpose, fighting together for the faith. So he goes on to unpack that a little bit. And if you want to do more on that, go and read Philippians 2, 1 and 2. Stand together with one purpose, fighting together for the faith. The enemy wants to isolate us, yes? He wants us to imagine that we're doing this on our own, that we don't have any support. And it's not about numbers. You know, this is a small church, but I love small churches. And I think that's why I ended up here and not in St. Mary's down at Longfleet. But I thought, oh, a big church has got big resources. It could resource me to do this and this and this. No, no, no. God said, you know, you need to be here because I need people around me to resource me in the calling that God's put on my life as a chaplain. And I feel more supported now, really, than when I ran my charity, because the charity was, in many ways, outside of the church, because he didn't have women doing stuff, you know. Yeah, in church. Actually, let's not say too much about that. I am being recorded. But it was one thing that made me think, if I'm going into chaplaincy, I need to be somewhere that embraces that. Yeah? So I want to say a big thank you to people who pray for me, people who come to St. Anne's or Alderney. You know, you all have a different role to play. People who can't come, I know you pray, you know. So, and we run our carers group, don't we, Dave, as well, you know. And God is expanding that into a Facebook group as well for carers who can't get to the group. So that's like a consequence of us having compassion on carers who are not being helped in any way. A lot of carers are at home and they can't get to groups. You know, it's hard enough for them to live from day to day, never mind go and be part of a nice group. So we've started this Facebook group that people can access and receive chaplaincy support. So for me, that is the outworking of compassion for carers. Okay. What comes first? Our relationship. Yeah? It all comes back to our relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Okay. I'm on track. I've written this down. Give God time to do what he wants to do. You know, I've had to learn that. And I'm a, you know, by nature, I am quite impatient. And I want things to happen. Boom, boom, boom. And things are happening in the chaplaincy arena for me that I wanted to happen 4 years ago. And they're happening now. I might say something at the end if I have time about that. But 4 years ago, obviously, I wasn't in the right place for whatever reason. And now, 4 years later, I've had that experience. So things are opening up, especially at Alderney Hospital, which is amazing. It's amazing. But it's happened in God's time and not my time. So I'm still learning. I'm like, I do say, hurry up, Lord. Hurry up, Lord. I'm getting old, you know. But God will renew our strength. Amen? I love the story of Caleb. You know, and he had a different spirit. And even at 80, he said, give me this mountain. So I feel like I'm a bit of a female Caleb, you know, like, keep going, Susan. You know, one day I'll just walk into heaven and it'll all be over. But meanwhile, I keep going, keep going. So give God time to do what he wants to do. And on the back of that, I've got this question. Do you know what season of life you're in right now? So it is important for us to know what God is doing with us in this moment. It might be an internal work, you know. It might be historic stuff that you're processing. It might be a new ministry, something you start talking to people in shops, like Tony's start to go down. And that only started last year, really, every week, didn't it, Tony? Yeah? Yeah. So maybe 2 years ago, you would not have imagined that that would have happened. Am I right? Or are you thinking about it?
Since day one.
Well, there we are. So since day one, but it's actually happening now. So that's what I mean. We've got to know what season we're in and go with it. Yeah? It's becoming evident to me that the chaplaincy stuff is starting to take more and more priority over the other things I do. So I'm going to lay stuff down. I can't do that, Steve, for we could buy it, actually. I can, like, when something's come to an end, you know, I'm usually quite happy to say, right, that season's finished. It's very easy to hold on to things because you've become familiar. You've become comfortable in that role, you know. But I've always said to, like, the work at the prison, I will do this as long as I'm in the situation where I can do it. But if the work at the hospital develops, I'll be laying this down. So the team know that already. And when it comes, probably by the summer, maybe, I think I'll be laying that down. Well, I'd be sad. I'll probably be in buckets because I meet such interesting people. And I've got compassion for prisoners. Not all of them are there because, you know, they willfully went out and did something that was horrendous. They made a mistake. They got drunk. They punched somebody in the pub or, you know, things happen. You know, yes, you have to take responsibility, but it's not always the obvious things. And Guys March is a category C prison. You know, so a lot of it is like alcohol, drug related, or a lot of the guys in there, they reckon over 70% of prisoners have ADHD, you know, because they've not got on well with school, they've got into gangs, or, you know, they've got into difficult behaviour, and then it becomes a pattern. So our job as visit support is to support the families that are coming in, so that the guys have hope, so they can go back and start to rebuild their lives. So for me, that is compassion, you know, having compassion on them. It's not up to me to judge, well, you've done this, so you should be here, and you know. Most of them, actually, I don't know what their sentence is, and that's a good thing, really. I just take them as they are. But sometimes the visitors tell me, oh, yeah, this happened, and then that happened, and then next thing we knew, we were in court, and then this happened, and then he got recalled, and, you know, as you start to get to know the visitors, you do start to hear their stories. I tell them I'm a chaplain. That's all I say. I do hospital visiting as a chaplain. So if they want to come back and ask me more about that, they can. But I'm at work, I need to be careful what I'm saying. But that word chaplain has just given me so many open doors to be able to say open. I can't say I'm a Christian, but it's acceptable to say I'm a chaplain, And somebody said to me once, well, I'm assuming you're a Christian then. And I'm like, yeah, because there's Muslim chaplains, there's pagan chaplains, there's all sorts of chaplains. So, I'd be sad to lay that ministry down. And I might just stay on as casual. I'm not sure yet, But I won't be doing it every week once things develop at the hospital. So that's what I mean by understanding the season. And God spoke to me when I was preparing this about understanding the season that I was in my life. So the message so far is compassion in Jesus always led to action. Yeah, you remember that bit? So he didn't get stuck. What did he not get stuck in? Empathy. He didn't get stuck in empathy. He got into action. And I think we should follow Jesus. Is that a good thing to do? Yeah. Okay. So from our foundation of faith, hope, love, compassion, grace, humility, all these roots that we can learn how to be, putting our roots down into the Word, into God's grace in our lives. Then when we reach out to others, we'll have the same mindset as Jesus. It says in Philippians, have the same mind, doesn't it? And you've probably read that and many times like me and thought, how can I have the same mind as Christ? But it's as we start walking in the Spirit that we start to have the same mind as Christ. We will never have the total mind of Christ until we're in glory. Yeah? But we can start. We can make a start. We can aspire to it. Okay. So this takes me on to living with a compassion mindset. So compassion isn't just, what's the compassion thing to do here? Oh, give them some soup. It's having that compassion mindset so that anyone you meet, immediately you're thinking, what is the one thing that I could do right now? Maybe that is to listen to them, okay? Maybe that is to sit down, have a coffee, listen to their story. Maybe it's not anything practical. Maybe it's to pray for them. My friend Anne, Anne, who used to be here, she prayed for a lady in a shop once, and she was in floods of tears. God really used that prayer. People who are not Christians would not think that was doing anything to help. But it was probably the best thing she could do because that's what God put on her heart. So it's having a compassionate mindset. Okay. What's the result of that? It says it in Philippians 4. The God of peace will be with you. Yeah? It's easy to pick out a promise from the Bible and not read what's before that. But it's because the Philippians were pouring out in generosity towards Paul. He was saying, the God of peace will be with you and God will meet all your needs. It was a result of their compassionate actions towards Paul that happened. We can't just pick it out of the Bible and say, oh, God will give me what I need. When we're not having that spirit of generosity, we have to live in that ourselves. For that to then be the fruit. Amen? Do you agree? Yes? Okay. Mark de Jesus. Got a few quotes here. I love Mark. He does these little podcasts. He used to be a pastor, but he was suffering with OCD, anxiety, depression, and he laid it all down and he started his own healing journey. And now he has a ministry to help people. And I really like his style. And I like the way he combines good psychology with good biblical truth. I love it. And that's what I try to do all the time. So here are two quotes from Mark. Compassion is powerful. But if your compassion is not authorized by God, it becomes a burden. Interesting, eh? Compassion is powerful, but if your compassion is not authorised by God, it becomes a burden. So if it is authorised by God, we can carry it. Yeah? It's not a burden. But if it's not coming from the Lord, we get overwhelmed. Yeah? We can get... they call it compassion fatigue. I like to call it empathy fatigue, because compassion means you've done some action. So I think it should be called empathy fatigue. And actually, there's some research coming out in psychology that is talking more and more about that. So I said to someone the other day, they're catching up with me. I was making a joke, but I felt for a long time that compassion is the action that comes out of empathy. So how can you get compassion fatigue? Yeah? Because you're actually doing what the right thing is at that time. And by the Spirit, of course. By the Spirit. Where am I? So, compassion is powerful, but if your compassion is not authorised by God, it becomes a burden. So if God's wanting me to move on from the prison and be in the hospital, and I continue to do that work, it would become like, oh, I've got the prison again today, you know? But if he wants me in the hospital, then it won't be a burden, it will be a delight to be there. Okay. They've even asked me now how many hours I'm prepared to work. Isn't that amazing? I had a little sort of almost interview on Friday. That's another story. I didn't know how many hours I could work. I didn't even have time to pray about it, but I just said 10. 10. You know, I could do 10 hours, right? Okay, we'll work on 10 hours. If I had not met that, I was talking to the lead pastor in Dorchester on Friday, and if I had not met her at that time, she was going to advertise that job for 18.5. And I wouldn't have gone for it because it's too many hours. But she was asking me, what hours could you do? Isn't that so good? And I'm like, oh, this sounds like an interview. This was like halfway through our chat. So we ended up planning how we could run a chaplaincy for mental health in Dorset. Just out of this conversation that I had with this chaplain. I've told a couple of people, but I came away thinking, like, has this really happened? Was that actually another interview? So watch this. It won't happen immediately because it's the NHS. But, you know, things move slowly. But I just felt, finally, I am talking to the right person. And she would supervise me in my role at Alderney and St. Anne's. Amazing, eh? So... you see, it's come out. I was going to tell you that in the end, but I'm just still trying to process that little meeting. And this was just us saying hello to each other. So there we are. That's a little bit of good news. Good news. Did I want to work in Albany? No, I didn't. I wanted to work in St. Anne's. But they'll be together, you know. The two hospitals will be together, and they will employ two other part-time chaplains to be at St. Anne's. So I think what she was saying is I'll be the team leader. Yeah. I think that's what she was saying. I'm not sure. But 4 years ago, I would not have imagined that. So God's got his perfect timing, yes? Perfect timing. So please pray, because when God opens a door, the enemy always wants to, you know, bring stuff in. So please pray that that all happens. And I'll keep you updated, yeah? Okay. I need to go back to this. Galatians 5:25, it says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So if we're living by the Spirit, then we need to walk by the Spirit. And walking is action, yeah? We have to actually put one leg in front of the other, yes? We can't just say, oh yes, I'm living by the Spirit, I pray, you know, in my own house, and my faith is private. We have to actually walk in compassion. That's how we do it. So if our motives are pure, the compassion we show to others will bear fruit for the kingdom. That's what I said, yeah? So I'm summing up now. If we are walking by the Spirit, our identity as children of God will show a lifestyle of compassion alongside kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. So if you look at the fruit of the Spirit and you don't really, you think, well, I'm not very good at that. Oh, I'm not very good at that one. You don't know where to start. Think about, what can I be compassionate in? How can I show compassion? And it just makes it more, I don't know. I like to be practical. You know, anybody who knows me knows I like to be practical and not talk about theology in a theoretical way. But this is theology. Walking in God's compassion is theology. Amen? I think so. Okay, somebody said yes. God is patient. Is he patient? Yeah, he's been patient with me, my. God is patient as we learn to reflect God's love in practical ways. So be patient with yourself too. So we can often be very hard on ourselves. We haven't done this, we're not good enough, we're not praying enough. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah? But when we're hard on ourselves, this is what Mark DeJesus is very good at. He says it's about relationship, not performance. When we start getting legalistic, or I have to do this, or I have to do this more, or in order to achieve compassion, I need to be like this. He's saying it's about relationship. It's about grace. It's about mercy. Yeah? It's not about what we think we should be doing. Actually, if we've got a best friend, and they're saying to us, oh, you know, I've had a difficult week, and do you say to them, well, you should have prayed more? Do you? You say, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry you've had a difficult week. You know, I'm going to pray for you this week that God will help you. Yeah? We don't put them down, do we? We comfort them. And this verse in 2 Corinthians, yeah? Let me read this bit in 2 Corinthians. I am nearly done. I've done all right on time. Okay. If I can find Corinthians. I did put markers in, but... Corinthians 1, 3 to 7. I'm sure you're thinking, I bet she's going to this bit. So walking in the Spirit is our identity as children of God. Yeah? It says here, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Are we happy about that?
Yes.
He is the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Isn't that lovely? But, you know, we can be so nice to others and just be so hard on ourselves and end up feeling like, when I was thinking about this, it's like the monks, you know, they used to beat themselves. They used to flay themselves. Because they didn't think they were good enough. It's performance, it's not relationship. Do we have sin in our lives? Yes, we're sinners. We have to confess. You know, God forgives us. I'm not talking about perfection. We're not being perfect. But we need to say, I made progress today because I read my Bible for 5 minutes. That's amazing. You know, we need to actually... notice the things that we are able to do, because God is our coach, you know. He's the God of all comfort. He said, you've done a great job. When my children were little, I'm not a morning person, okay? I'm not a morning person at all. And you know, I've tried hard to overcome that, and I can get up in the morning, but I can function. But when you've got kids in the week really early, you know, you can't think, oh, I need to do my devotions. It just wasn't happening for me. And I felt like I was a terrible Christian because I wasn't able to do that. And you know, I started to read different things and hear sermons about just accept yourself with where you're at. If you can't do it in the morning, do it in the evening. And actually, that's what I still do. The evenings are my wind time, reflection, prayer. You know, that's what I do in the evening because I'm reflecting on the day and giving it all to God. When I get up, I need to wash my hair. I need to eat my breakfast. I need to see to Alistair. I need to, you know, get ready for the day. But I don't get out of bed without saying, right, Lord, you're in charge. You know, I'm going ahead of, you know, you go ahead of me for this day. Because I've already prayed all through the night before. So if you're not a morning person, don't worry about it. Just find another time. I used to, when the children went off to school, that's when I sat down with my Bible. I'm like, kids are at school. It's quiet. Husband's at work. Wow, I've got an hour. I can just worship the Lord. So there's ways and means. It's about relationship, not performance. Do you agree?
Yes.
Is that all right? Is that okay to say that?
Yes.
Yeah? Do I believe in quiet times? Yes. But I talk to God all the time. You can imagine. You know, I do talk to God all the time. You know. Okay. So we're nearly finished. Colossians 3:12. This is a good verse as well. It says, if you're walking by the Spirit, I've said that already. Let me read it from the scripture. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy. That's another word for compassion. Tender-hearted mercy. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Have we got the right clothes on? So as I get dressed in the morning, I just say, Lord, clothe me with what I need today. You know. So, but you know, I have time in the evening, it's okay. I'm not backsliding, all right? So, the important thing is to reflect God's love to others in tangible, practical ways. And when I say others, I also include ourselves. Just got a few more things here that I want to say, and then we'll finish. Compassion increases positive emotions in the brain in response to adverse situations. So if you're in an adverse situation and then you step in to help, your brain actually changes. The hormones, stress hormones are replaced with oxytocin and dopamine and things like that because you're actually taking action. So that is how we don't get burnout. That's how I don't get burned out. Because I always say, what can I do right now? And I learned that when I went to the Philippines. I used to go to the Philippines and minister. I learned that when I ran a charity. Someone would come in with a huge host of problems. They'd talk and tell me all what was going on. I would say, out of everything you've said, what is the most important? What is the most important thing for you? And then we take action on that. Now, the action may be giving them options. It might be phoning the school. Why don't we phone the school right now? Somebody was worried about their children. There was things going on. That was the action. Did I speak to the school? No. But I prompted them. I phoned the school and gave them the phone. And I was then encouraging them to say it. So when they came off, they said, oh, I said, you did really well, you know. So that was the one thing that was important at that time. She also had the bailiffs at the door. She was about to be made homeless, this mum. But for her, the important thing was the school. Once that was sorted out, 3 days later, I then helped her to move house and took her to the homeless team. You know, and that's why I had a big car, because everything just went in the car. Because the bailiffs were knocking on the door. She didn't have enough money to pay the rent. Because her partner had disappeared and had taken all the money. But just these little things, you know, Could I sort her whole life out? No, I couldn't. But that one thing was God's compassion for her. And actually, it was about a week ago, I started praying all the seeds that I've sown over the years in different places. I was praying that God would bring them to fruition. Because once we sow a seed, it's still there. It's still there. All the times you were working with the homeless, Steve, you know, like all the bikers you've seen over the years, that seed is still there. It may look dormant, but all it needs is some water and some oxygen from the Holy Spirit, and it starts to grow, you know? Like that mum who came in for the loaf of bread, I sowed that seed. I'm not in touch with her now, but I pray that the seeds, you know, will grow and bear fruit. Amen?
Yes.
Let me see what else. I am nearly finished. So, this is how God has wired us, that we can be present with another person without experiencing their distress. So if we're so empathic that we start crying with someone, it's happened to me occasionally when it's been a horrendous story. But it hasn't, I've just focused on what they've been saying. And then they say, oh, sorry, I've made you cry. I'm like, no, I understand what you're saying, please carry on. But I try to not get so involved emotionally. And I'm better at it now than when I was younger. So it's probably time to be at the hospital. Because the stories are horrendous. The things that people have gone through. So how we stay present with that person without taking on their distress, we come with a compassion mindset. Yeah? Can we say that together? Compassion mindset. So always say, what can we do right now? Now, maybe the best thing to do is, I'm going to pray for you. You know? So do you get what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's all practical. I'm not saying it's all spiritual. It's everything. It's whatever Jesus would do. We used to say, what would Jesus do, didn't we? And it became a bit of a kind of, you know, overused. But it's actually a good thing to think. Right, what would Jesus do right now? Sometimes somebody just needs a hug, you know. So don't get stuck in empathy, all right? Compassion does not fatigue us, but it enables us to take action. Amen? There we are. Thank you for listening. That was a little unpacking of just that one word, compassion. So this week, pray, say, Lord, show me. Show me how I can walk in compassion. Show me how I can show compassion. But don't get stuck in empathy. Amen. Okay, thank you. Here, Steve.